world celebrates New Year's, and we do too, we celebrate a new theme. So every year, Grace Bible Church has a theme, and we think of that theme throughout the year at times. What's what we want to focus. In fact, most of these posters that you see hanging around the church, these have been previous themes. Now, our theme for 2023 will not be revealed yet, so we're not going to uncover or unveil that. We, as soon as we're done with the review of 2022, then we'll reveal it. As you know, the theme for 2022 was preserving the unity of the Spirit. And while we're reviewing it, there's two things you want to know and say. And one is, what does that mean again? And how well did we do? So we'll spend a few weeks talking about these things. I thought about condensing them, especially for this sermon, but this sermon is too important to condense, and so I'm going to bring everything that we had studied about it. Basically, what we are going to look at, what we have looked at when we studied preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, was unity in doctrine. So that's why it's so important. Unity in doctrine. Then unity in the Spirit, where we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how we ought to yield to the Spirit. We actually spent a lot of time talking about that in the book of Ephesians this year, have we not? And, you know, as a pastor, you're very joyful that that happened. If there's anything that ought to be said over and over again, or that we take our time through a particular passage, the congregation hears it over and over, and that is being filled with the Spirit. And then finally, the third part of this was unity in the body, unity among us. And so that'll be the last thing that is discussed. Well, for my illustration this morning, I want to give a quote that I'm sure you've heard before. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, charity or love. It's a good quote. I've used that quote before. It can be very, very helpful. It's not a bad saying, but it is something that we have to think through. Philip Schaff, the distinguished 19th century church historian, called this particular phrase, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. He called it the watchword of Christian peacemakers. That was in his History of the Christian Church. Now, this phrase is often attributed to the great theologian Augustine. However, it comes from an otherwise undistinguished German Lutheran theologian of the early 17th century, Rupertus Meldenius. No one has heard of him, I'm sure, but actually they attribute the phrase from him. It occurred in a tract form on Christian unity written in about 1627. It was during the time of the European history. It was the bloody time in which religious tensions played a significant role. And in trying to sort it all out, what should we agree on? What should we agree to disagree on? Out came this phrase, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. But I have to say, there's a couple of problems with that. There really is. I wish it could just take care of everything. But the problem number one is the essentials. And by the way, what do we mean by essentials? The essential doctrines that relate, that are either going to get you into heaven or keep you from heaven. That's what the essentials are. In other words, some beliefs determine whether you are going to heaven or not. And of course, this is kind of interesting. You've probably heard of churches that they'll say, well, we have 5, 6 major doctrines that we will not compromise on, but then the rest of the doctrines and the teachings we will compromise on. And even as I read through some of their doctrines, I'm going, well, you missed some. You know, most all of them talked about the inspiration of Scripture. I think the Trinity needs to be mentioned. The person of Christ, the work of Christ, salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, and the sinfulness of man. Now, there are many, many more doctrines, and some of them I would include in the essentials. The problem is, who is the one that's making the quote? What are his essentials? In other words, there are those who believe in baptismal regeneration, that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, and that's one of the essentials. In essentials, we have unity. No, we don't. It all depends on who's saying it and what their beliefs are. And that's the first problem. Now, if we were to say it in our doctrinal camp, I get it. Most of us would agree on what are the essentials. But to just open it up to the world and to denominations, the essentials are pretty vast. And some of them aren't, even from other Christian denominations, aren't even close. So that's the first problem. The second problem is you will have men like me, who aren't satisfied with that. Yes, I know we have doctrines that will either get you into heaven or keep you out of heaven, but they're all important. And the importance comes to me when you say, okay, you don't believe this particular doctrine, but we believe it here at the church. You say it doesn't really matter. Oh, yes, it does. What you believe about that doctrine will dictate how you preach from the pulpit. It will dictate how they preach from the pulpit. So it becomes a little fuzzy there. And I will agree. If you don't agree with our eschatology and future things, yes, you may still go to heaven. It's not as bad as what R.C. Sproul did one time at his Ligonier seminar. So we were coming back from break, and he says to the entire congregation, I want to know who all has bought the brand new ESV Reformation Bible. Raise your hand. And I mean like 85% raised their hand, and he said, good, you're going to heaven. And then he said, how many of you out there have the MacArthur Study Bible? And there was a few of us that raised their hand. He says, well, the verdict is still out. Anyway, he was doing that all in jest. They were very, very good friends. The idea here is, if you have misinterpretation, even of these secondary doctrines, if you want to call them that, and I don't like to do that, because I believe them wholeheartedly, and it's in our doctrinal statement, and these are the things that you can expect to hear from the pulpit, because we don't just write a doctrinal statement to write one, we believe it. And as elders, we believe it. And as a congregation, you're asked to believe them if you want to become a member or let us know why you don't agree with certain things. If you have the wrong interpretation of a passage, you're going to have the wrong application. We've been talking about that in our Sunday school class. And that you've got to have the right interpretation and it will lead you to the right application. Well, that's the way it is when it comes to thinking about when the Lord's going to come, when the tribulation is, when is Christ's second return going to happen? What about the truthfulness of the millennial kingdom? All of that has something to do with how you preach and interpret and what you say from the pulpit. So the question is, are we still peacemakers? Even when we question the essentials of other denominations? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Because Scripture never wants us to compromise truth, doctrine, or the essentials for the sake of peace. In Ephesians Turn with me, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. It is a great and biblical and truthful passage of Scripture. It says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But does that mean that we have to just join the ecumenical movement? The movement that says the more we have of those who are trying to serve God and those who are trying to help solve problems of our world today, the better off we'll be. Even if we agree to disagree in the essentials. This is not an ecumenical verse, and we will talk about that. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's the unity in doctrine. It's the unity in the Word. It's the unity in the Spirit's Word who wrote the Scriptures. It's the unity in the Spirit's teaching of what is right and what is wrong. And when we're within that limitation, boundary, then there will be true peace. That is what we're talking about this morning. I'm reminding us that the very first part of this, preserving the unity of the Spirit, began with unity in doctrine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we understand the plea for all to get along, all denominations to get along, all religions to get along. We understand the plea for that. But according to Scripture, there is only one mediator, one Savior, one faith, one Lord, one truth, and one salvation through faith alone in Christ alone. We cannot compromise that. Father, help us as we talk about unity, but it first begins with unity in your word, unity in doctrine. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to spend just a little bit of time here talking about the ecumenical movement, kind of defining it, a little bit of its history, and then some of the quotes. What is the ecumenical movement? Well, one definition is, ecumenism is the concept and the principle in which Christians who belong to different Christian denominations work together to develop closer relationships among their churches and promote Christian unity. But they really left out a lot of things, especially in the ridding of social ills. So that's what they would say. Let's all get together. And they're not really taking care of any doctrinal problems. They're not really doing anything, although they have tried in history. What they are trying to do is take care of all the social ills. And by the way, that brings in culture. Culture many times leads the way that the world thinks we need to deal with social ills. And the church just comes running after. You know, because we want to be like you, or we want you to come to our church. That was not the meaning and intention of our theme. I actually remember us talking about that as elders. And when I came out with this, the first thing that Mike said is, I just want to make sure we're not talking.